Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You are listening to the Open Up Podcast.
So you're listening to an Open Up Extra. This is where we get a little bit more meaty on a particular interview that we've mentioned already in the series. And no pun intended when I say meaty, because we're going to hear the full interview with Leo Pemberton, who is a nutritionist and a dietitian. He is trained, he is an expert, even though lots of people claim to be. He knows what he's talking about, and I think it's really important that we focus on the issue of clean eating. So he's got a lot to say. Listen up, enjoy the full interview, pass it on to people that you think might be interested. And also, don't forget to subscribe to the whole lot. Yes, please do subscribe, rate and review, and let us know what you think with hashtag Team Open. Here it is. How does one actually qualify to be a bona fide, you know, expert when it comes to what we eat? Because I feel like a lot of people say that they know, but what does it mean in terms of qualification?
Only someone who has qualified, fully completed a four-year degree, can then go on to become a registered dietitian. So it's a legally protected title. That means that I'm accountable for my actions. So if I give you bad advice, I'm bound by a code of conduct, and I'm professionally regulated and insured. So if something goes wrong, there are consequences for me.
And what is considered as something that goes wrong?
If someone came to me to lose weight, I can't go and cook every meal of theirs for them. So I can't control someone else's behaviour. But what I can do is signpost them or give them advice that fits with their lifestyle. One of the problems that we have at the moment is that there are lots of people out there who appear to be experts in health or nutrition, and it can be really difficult to know who is giving out the right advice or not. There are a couple of trends that do worry me. The clean eating movement, at first glance, that doesn't appear to be dangerous. They're saying, you know, go for unprocessed foods more. That's a good thing, but it can lead to disordered eating, because if you start to cut out lots of different food groups and then you might only go for raw foods instead of cooked foods, or if you're going gluten-free then going vegan, suddenly you're left with not very much in your diet, or maybe only vegetables or only one food group.
And it's deemed as something that's like really positive. If you go online and if you go on Instagram, there are movements based around clean eating and only cooking in coconut oil and high fat diets where you're cutting out, you know, every type of carbohydrate.
One of the dangerous things there is that if you follow certain bloggers or Instagram stars, they will all have a slightly different ethos. So if you follow one person and they say, well, I think you should cut out meat, dairy and gluten, you also follow someone else and they say you should cut out grains, then that's where you start to cut out many more groups than those people themselves. And it's really not backed up by science. It depends what your goals are. You know, lots of people want to follow a healthy diet for weight loss, and there are lots of ways in which you can lose weight, but if you're cutting out vitamins and minerals and things like calcium or protein from your diet, you know, especially if you're still growing or you're very active, or, you know, you want to be healthy, that's when it becomes dangerous.
What kind of deficiencies could you run into unexpectedly?
Anemia, which is when you have very low iron levels, and that can affect your energy.
It can make you really tired.
It can actually make you very ill, seriously ill. So the tiredness would be one of the first symptoms that you might recognise.
Right.
So yeah,
and then it gets more serious.
Yeah, and then also calcium, for example, you run the risk of having brittle bone disease or osteoporosis later in life. Younger people are cutting out dairy products completely, but not replacing those products with other sources of calcium. Girls as young as 12 might be influenced at school, or again by bloggers. Some of the more extreme cases that I've seen or heard about have been where people start by maybe going vegan, but then moving on to only eating raw foods, so not cooking any foods or having any processed foods. In one extreme case, a young man got to the stage where he was only having filtered water, so distilled water, was actually really fearful to reintroduce any of the foods that he was having before. So at that point, you're running the risk of death. So it's really serious. And where we have so much information at our fingertips, there is too much information out there and too much contradictory information and advice.
You could feel like you want to be healthy. You could follow someone that tells you that their method is healthy, and then
absolutely,
you follow someone else's, and then you follow someone else, or you follow another method. Essentially, that could boggle your brain so much that you could end up with an eating disorder.
Absolutely. It's harder than ever to know who the real experts are, and the people who have the most followers tend not to be the experts. So my profession compared to a glamorous food blogger, maybe we look quite dull or, you know, not appealing to people. And it's not really my job to build up a huge social media following or to build up that presence. I don't need to, but then it means that our voice is diluted. I'll pick up the pieces when things start to go wrong.
So health and fitness and nutrition specifically, which is your field, is becoming so glamorous in a sense.
It is.
That the real experts are getting, as you said, drowned out, which is so.
And there are some there are some very good people out there
who
do give sound advice. One of the issues that I have is that I exercise a lot, and I recommend to my clients that they also build activity or more activity into their lives. But I would never tell anybody how to lift weights or how to do a certain exercise. I would signpost them to a professional in that area.
Yeah.
But on the flip side, that's not always true. So a lot of personal trainers, and the advice that they often give is either wrong or misleading because of nutrition.
If you are in the health and fitness field, you can be very much on your own agenda. So it probably could be beneficial to somebody making a lot of money to keep people kind of wanting more.
Absolutely. And some of the diet plans that I wouldn't necessarily agree with nutritionally, because they're not the only way to lose weight, might still lead to weight loss. In the short term, one of the issues I have with food bloggers and personalities, they can be very slim. It might not be their diet that has contributed to their look.
I'm really scared that there are so many people in the public eye look like they have eating disorders.
Yeah.
Who are heralded as healthy and in control.
It upsets me when I meet people who have started on a health and fitness journey and they have unknowingly started to put their health at risk. The same names come up again and again. It's really sad to have a conversation with someone and for them to come to the conclusion that actually following this healthy eating advice was what led to a problem or a condition that they are.
It must add to a sense of shame, realizing that you're out of control.
Yeah.
And then to realize that the path that you began was such a positive one.
That's right.
Rather than ever looking at anorexia as an ideal or bulimia, you know, you were so far away from that because you were taking on the beginnings of the journey as something to better your life. And then to realise that it's taking you down the completely wrong path.
I'm certainly seeing a lot of people who appear to be suffering the symptoms of orthorexia, so cutting out many food groups to the point where that has an effect on everyday life and duties and socialising.
I don't really know where it went wrong, because it's incredible to be into food of all sorts, to be into healthy food,
yeah,
to be into non-healthy food, to be into food from a global perspective,
yeah,
to be into food from an indulgent perspective, and to be, you can be as glamorous as you want to be with that, but I think it's become like the thing, and I think what sells the most is to label the food that you are making or are into or that you're writing about as healthy.
Absolutely, and I think there are lots of terms used, like guilt-free eating, and you shouldn't ever be having to feel guilty about nourishing your body, whether you are having that occasional treat or you're having something that has been processed, because not all processed foods are bad for you. And there's also a lot of good versus bad, good versus evil, especially in the press,
yeah,
that people have become very confused about. It's almost as if we have to have a public enemy number one in food terms, like sugar currently is public enemy number one. Lots of celebrities are cashing in on that, really, by bringing out books promoting sugar-free eating. Now, you don't have to go completely sugar-free to reduce the amount of sugar in your diet, and certainly we're having a bit, most of us are having a bit too much sugar. That's true, but we don't need to enter into this extreme.
You don't need to go extreme.
And there is a lot of extreme eating. Some of the ingredients people are using are becoming more and more extreme and hard to find as well. So it's not really practical to be looking around for these magical powders and potions just to make a sugar-free cookie.
And it makes it so easy to lash yourself, right? If you don't have the right powders, or you bought one and then you see that someone's posting about another one, or you couldn't get hold of in your local shop like the perfect type of superfood. And then and it makes you feel bad.
There's a lot of people trying to outdo each other in terms of what they can make food-wise. And I mean more people in the media and the bloggers, for example. And then you think, well, where does this end? Because there are even people out there promoting powdered nutrition only. So, you know, trying to get all of your vitamins and minerals from a powdered food. Now, if that's the way we're going and taking away all of the pleasure of eating and socialising with your friends and family and enjoying food, then I think that's a very dangerous place to be going.
What is a great food?
A great food. So, I try not to use the term superfoods,
yeah,
because I think, again, that can be misleading. And often when you look at who is calling something a superfood, it might be a manufacturer who wants you to buy a really expensive berry,
yeah,
where you could get quite similar nutrition from the humble tomato, for example.
Yeah.
So I try not to use the term
poor humble tomato.
All fruits and vegetables are great, and then things like nuts and seeds, they're brilliant, you know, they're very heart healthy for you. Olive oil is fantastic.
I was in Greece recently and my mate gave me a shot of olive oil in the morning. He was like, honestly,
just
drink it straight. I was like, it's olive oil.
Well, olive oil is very good for you.
Yeah.
It is, and especially if you're using it cold on salads or vegetables. I am an omnivore. I eat all food groups. I'm not vegetarian, but you know, you can have a healthy, balanced diet on a vegetarian diet as well. There are a couple of things that you'd want to be more careful around. If you're going to go vegan, you have to be a bit more careful still and make sure you're getting certain nutrients, especially calcium, iron, and B12. There are lots of easy, fast recipes that you can make that are healthy and balanced. It doesn't need to be complicated.
The last question.
Go for it.
If you were a fruit or a vegetable, what would you be and why?
Okay, look, I love blueberries. So, yeah, they would be my favourite, absolutely. I wonder why.
You'd make a good blueberry.
They pack a good punch, blueberries.
They are yummy.
Yeah, absolutely. So that would be one of my favourite breakfasts. It would be something like porridge and blueberries.
Okay, so you're the blueberry
yogurt
in
and blueberries.
It.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello? Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Yeah.